Hi, everyone. This is Aaron, and you are listening to the Sound Words Podcast, a podcast about the life and times of today's worship leaders. Today's guest is Indora Pan, and we're going to talk about counseling at Unicoi versus counseling at Turf, Segerstrom Musicals, being an editor for the Walnut Blog, the Briefing Podcast by Albert Moeller, and Christian Radio. Thanks for listening.
Okay, so follow up from last time, we talked about how you wanted the Unicoi worship leaders to like be more involved or whatever, or to be more like active in what they're doing. And like so much has changed. Okay, so for one thing, you know, me and Jess went through the whole adoption ordeal. And so I kind of stepped back a little bit, and Philip actually has been helping me out in Unicoi. Mm-hmm. And what he's been doing. Yeah. And what Philip's been doing is that he's been actually training the youth worship leaders, and some of them, you know, overflow into Unicoi. So he's been proactive in actually teaching them about worship theology and even like some practical stuff. With Chloe, Chloe is a senior, and so she's been busy doing her college apps. So she actually has not been leading for a while, but she'll be coming back, I think, in February, and we'll be working closer with her. But yeah, that's kind of what's going on, Indora.
That's cool. No, I actually walked in on practice a couple times.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah. What do you think? I was encouraged to see the counselors playing with the kids. Because I think when I was still in Unicoi last year, and when you asked us to do it, that was probably definitely one of the highlights of the worship practice, like one that I participated in. Yeah, like it was fun to play with just all counselors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're so good. No, I'm just kidding.
Statement, yes.
It's a change. But I think with the kids, it just reminds me when I play with them of how it was like to be young and to see like mentorship in action through like musical worship. Because that's how I learned myself. That's how I learned to sing so boldly, I think. Because people always comment that I do sing pretty loud. I can get better at changing the way my volume, but whatever.
No, it's good.
But I think I really learned through watching other worship leaders just sing with abandon. Mm. I mean, they knew what they were singing, but definitely what I grew up with was more emotional worship.
Right. Yeah.
But I still appreciate that. Yeah. And then also, I think I'm still encouraged when I see the youth leading, or they're like willing to step up, because I feel like if you truly understand what you believe in, then, and if you have the gift of musicality and worship, and I mean, you know, we can worship with anything, sorry, but like if you have that gift of having musical talents, you might as well use it. And I don't know, I just love singing, or like I love worship.
Yeah, well, I mean, since the last time, you know, we talked, you went to Turf. So how has Turf been for you? Have you been leading at all in Turf? Do you sing at all?
No, I don't lead in Turf at all. Angie's been doing a great job. So has Ray. So it's just been Ray and Angie. And actually, Vincent Jojana led one time. So that was good. And I think it's fine because Turf is a much smaller crowd. So I think I'm loud anyway. So I think even if I'm singing in the back, you can hear me.
Yeah, you're like leading from the congregation anyways.
No, I'm trying not to, but no, it's just really good. No, they've been doing a great job. It is very different as just one person leading. Usually they don't have a set band or group. It's just literally Ray or literally Angie leading it. But I like it. I like it that way. And then something else that's different is we usually end the message with one more song.
Closing song.
Yeah, closing song, which yeah. I don't remember Unicoi doing. I don't know if you guys added that packet.
Yeah, okay. We used to do it a long time ago, I think when Hanley was there. Yeah, but I think since Matt and then Eugene, since like their time, I don't think we've been doing closing songs since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that you're enjoying Turf music. How's your counseling going in Turf?
Turf is a little bit different in that we really try to let the student leaders lead a lot more. So in Turf, the biggest change is that we're in these community groups. They're co-ed groups. And in Unicoi, I had my set group of girls. I led them from sophomore year to senior year, and now they're freshmen. And I think that was the biggest change, is that I just didn't have this set of girls anymore. it's now guys and girls of all different age levels. I mean, within TURF, of course. And I'm really just the mentor, and I let the people lead it, like the TURF students lead it. But I mean, I step in too.
Do you like that?
You know, it wasn't more about like or dislike. It was just more getting used to it, because I mean, especially in the very beginning, it's awkward, right? And we were trying to figure out the groups. So every week was a little bit different, but now we have set community groups, and I enjoy my group. I really appreciate the student leaders. They're really the ones asking to hang out or planning hangouts. And I kind of, I'm just stepping back, and it's nice. We have our own Facebook Messenger group. So
that's cool.
With each other on there. But I do miss having just a set group of girls, because I feel like, you know, with your same gender, you can talk more deeply about things. But I have to say that our community group has been pretty open. Maybe on like certain issues they haven't talked about, you know,
sure.
Like,
dating.
Like if you're someone, they're not going to bring that up. But if it's been like family things or school things, like it's been more personal, they have brought it up. So that's something that's been.
I think you're in a unique position because you went to UCLA, so you know mm-hmm. the UC system, but then I went to
Mount Sac.
Yeah, you went to Mount Sac, right? You're a fellow right. Mountie like me, yeah. And so you
what?
Also
you
know...
Went to Mount Sac?
I did.
Oh, I had no idea.
I went to Mount Sac for 4 years, actually.
Oh, wow.
2 years of prereqs and then 2 years of nursing school, all done in Mount Sac, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But anyways, for you... You know what the UC life is like, but you also know like what it's like to, you know, go to community college. And so I feel like you have a lot of knowledge that you can share, or, you know, at least life experience that you share with a lot of the students probably.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. When you are leading the group, do you like chime in with your advice, or do you just kind of facilitate? Like, how does that work? Because you said mentor, right?
Okay. So I don't know. They call us mentor counselors, whatever. Is I think typically I try to I'll jump in when I need to be, like if the group is talking about random things and we need to be talking about the message mm-hmm. or we need to be stay on track,
right, right.
I'll jump in. But I think for leading questions I do sometimes, but I kind of take a step back and try to let the student leaders take over, because I think they need to practice leading. I think the people in my group, they're all guys. Not everybody, not all of them are guys, but the student leaders are guys in my group. So it's not the females that are leading, but the guys, I like seeing them step up and asking questions. And they're pretty good about it. They're all very engaging. And even amongst the students themselves that are not leaders, they will ask questions and they'll follow up as people are sharing. So I just jump in when I don't know, as needed.
What about outside of fellowship time? Do you like meetups and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I haven't had the chance to meet up with, unfortunately, people outside of the TURF freshman girls. There are some people like I've messaged or talked with, but for the most part, I've been still kind of investing in the group of girls that I've mentored. But I think the hope is I'm supposed to be mentoring the student leaders that are females, and there's only two of them, but I haven't had the chance to.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of time. Yeah, no, there's still a lot of time. You've only had like one semester there, so yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time still.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's almost 2019. It's just going by so fast. You really have to be professional. But no, I've been trying to keep up with my TURF girls outside and catching up with them one-on-one, even the ones who went out of state, been trying to keep up. There's only really one that went out of state. And then there's two that went to SD for sure.
Yeah.
So trying to meet up with them. And then also in December, we're doing our annual Christmas party. It's usually at my house. So we'll do that. It's something that I look forward to. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, so. Good job, Andorra. It's kind of fun to see you transition from high school ministry to college ministry. I mean, obviously it's different, but you're still the same person. So it's kind of cool to see you do different things and stretch yourself a little bit.
It is. It is so different in some senses. I think the issues they went through back in high school, and even, I mean, don't you feel this way in Unicoi? Like they're going through things that we never ever went through.
I think that, yes, there are a lot of things that are different, but like the heart of things is right. still the same. Maybe they have different cell phone addictions that we never had, you know, but the right. But the desire to have other things other than God is still, like, you know, prominent right. in people's lives. I think
way to get into the heart of an issue.
I mean, sure. yeah, I mean, I think that that would be our role as counselors, you know, is just to be able to be able to discern, like, what is the heart issue that we're dealing with, and not just, like, situational type of things, you know, mm-hmm. because I think situations, circumstances, those are always going to change, and they're not even specific to just, like, age groups. I think right. they're specific to families and to friends and to culture here that we have. And so right. I think being able to see what is the heart issue is the role of the counselor. And I think it sounds like you're doing a good job at doing that. So good job, Andora.
Thanks.
I heard that you've been going to musicals recently at Segerstrom. Is that how you say it? Segerstrom?
Segerstrom? I've been to a couple now. So there's a particular group of us that decided to get the Segerstrom season package. We just went last Saturday. Did you hear about this?
Okay, so the way I found out about it is because I was talking to Gabe and Sharon, and they mentioned it, and we tried to guess who would have a ticket also. And
oh, gotcha.
And you were definitely on that list of people that would have a ticket to it, so...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I do have a ticket.
Yeah. Too. So what did you guys see?
We went to see this musical called Waitress. It's by Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, is that really? Oh.
Name?
Yeah. 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 Bareilles. Yeah.
The singing was good.
Yeah.
The songs were good.
Yeah.
The story, I'm still very conflicted about. And actually, it's funny. I thought they told you something else. During intermission, the first thing I sat next to Gabe. And the first thing I said to him at intermission was, I don't like this.
And that was only at intermission.
Yeah, even afterwards, Robin and Danny were there too. There's a whole bunch of us. But I was talking to Danny about this, just, and Robin too, about the morality of the story. Not to spoil too much, but it's very gray. And it's not a good kind of gray. There's no, okay, so there's some cheating, okay? Like adultery. And in the end, she doesn't end up with that guy. Sorry, spoiler. But there's like no, it's not that there was any mention of that it was wrong. I don't know. I'm still not quite sure. I'm just conflicted on the ending. That's all. Even the whole story. There's no good. There's no moral good in the whole story.
Are you a musical fan? Like, do you know like a lot of plays and stuff out there?
I'm not a fanatic, but I probably more, I got into it more recently because of Hamilton and Wicked. I've always loved, but other musicals, getting onto that, that's been more recent.
I mean, for Wicked and Hamilton, I think there are very clear, like, moral lines that they draw there, I guess, yeah. You know, or, you know, they're trying to say something about it, but I'm sure that there are a lot of musicals out there where there is like just gray area and like they don't address it, you know, it's just kind of out there.
Yeah, it just didn't sit well with me the whole time. Even the characters, like I didn't understand their motives for doing things. I still don't understand the choices that they made. And I mean, not that I needed to, but I just couldn't root for any of them, you know, but I really enjoy the story. I mean, I'm not sorry. The singing,
yeah.
The singing. I enjoyed the singing and the music. That was what made up for it.
when you see them, do you get inspired for your singing at church on stage? Are you like, oh man, God. I want to sound like them?
No, I don't actually, because I know I'm not them. But okay, in some ways, it is very inspiring because when I'm listening to them, I'm just so amazed at their vocal ranges, their musicality, and just how good they are. But I'm never like, oh, I'm so jealous or I really want to be like them. It's just more, I'm in awe. And I could listen to you sing all day. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I get where you're coming from. With those types of stories, though, is it the point that you're the one that's supposed to make the judgment? Like, maybe like the story is just being presented that way and you're the one that's supposed to decide, or is this not the case? Do you know what I mean? Like there's some stuff where it's just like, okay, it's there for you and you're supposed to like make the judgment.
I don't know. I'm just a natural judgmental person, I guess. I don't know if everybody else liked it. Okay. Nobody else like the only- conflicted as I was. Maybe Danny, but you'd have to ask him. But I was definitely the most conflicted vocally. Like I just couldn't enjoy myself.
No, I appreciate that you look at things with your Christian worldview. You just can't take off your Christian glasses,
there's
I guess.
There's a lot of crudeness that I didn't appreciate, but then I should have expected that going to a modern secular show. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, sometimes we just have to be discerning on what we allow ourselves to watch. Not
actually, it wasn't, it wasn't like, I mean, I still think it presented some very interesting moral perspectives. Yeah, that's all. And I shouldn't expect them to be like Christian. They're not.
Of course. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
Right. When you I like musicals. Going back to it, yes.
When you watch your K-dramas.
Oh gosh, I haven't watched one in so long.
When you have watched your K-dramas, because you're my K-drama expert, so all my K-dramas, I go to you. Are there clear moral boundaries in those dramas, or are there also like questionable ethics?
I haven't watched any recently, really, to be honest. But I would say that, I mean, even now it might be popular, but there are some really interesting, moral ethics in K-dramas. But I think K-dramas are different in that it's not all just about like sexuality or those kind of things, but it's more, even if they present themselves, it's more done either in a playful or subtle way. For example, like the cross-dressing thing, like a girl cross-dresses as a guy so that she can maybe get into the same school that he does. And she likes him. Like, you don't think about that. You're like, oh my gosh, like maybe you just live vicariously through that person. Because like, oh my gosh, this is so romantic. At least this was me back in the day when I was curling.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, that is like kind of, you should be pausing at that.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
Right, but at the time when I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so awesome, like you just get so caught up in it. Not that it's awesome, but it's just like it gives you like the feels. I don't know, like when he actually falls for her and then maybe he might be gay but he's not gay. Okay, like those are moral,
right?
But in the world of K-drama it seemed normal, so
yeah, I know you don't watch anymore. You haven't watched for a long time, but yeah, sorry. I just have to ask
it's totally fine. I mean, there are some that are more not like just for comical relief, but there are some that comment on society, and those ones kind of make you just think for a while. But they are very addicting.
Okay, so another thing that I think you're good at, besides your vocal skills and your counseling skills and your moral discerning skills, is that you're good at editing blog posts. And we've been doing a lot of blog edits over the fall season.
Oh, thanks.
How do you feel? How do you feel about our little blog ministry that we have going on?
I feel bad, man.
Why? Oh, really? You feel bad? Why?
I feel bad that I haven't really contributed what I said I was going to contribute.
But you've been editing.
But I am contributing editing. I think I didn't realize how hard editing is. I mean, I have done it before, but you know, when I'm trying to not mess up an author's original train of thought or their writing style. I don't want to make it my own. But then there are times where things just don't make grammatical sense. And I'm not a grammar person, actually. So I think I'm still practicing or getting better at that. But no, I think it's been fun, actually. It's been fun to know which articles are going to come out. And also to be able to tell the writer, you need to rewrite it.
you get excited when you get to send it back.
I'm just kidding. No. That's too mean. Only maybe for certain people.
I've submitted and you guys have told me to relook at some
I think Gabe has been way harder. I'm gonna call him out, but I think he's much tougher. Gabe, I'm not the tough critic. There are some things that didn't make sense in the more recent posts, so we took them out.
True. Gabe is the more critical one, but you do have good insight. And just coming at it from a normal, read, there's stuff that people miss. True. And I think it's good. Also, I think that you have a you know, a female perspective to offer that me and Gabe don't have, obviously. So, you know, so maybe it's true. Like phrasing or like, I don't know, sensitivity to certain topics. I think it's good that you're here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that is a challenge of editing a blog post, because you also need to think about the readership and how they would perceive it, especially if it goes on our church website and we have a ton of visitors. It's easy, because I totally understand, like, it's easier to write to the FCBC audience, but then for a blog post, you're putting yourself out there for the whole world. So somebody that's from another church, or not even someone who's a churchgoer, will not understand the lingo we're so used to. No, I think I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed reading people's posts. And I really have enjoyed it when we've asked people to contribute. Like, I love Jess's posts and Leslie's posts and like your guys' posts.
Thanks.
Because I think that it's important. I think you said this before, right? Did you tell me this, or did you tell Hamlet this, about how theology comes from like the writing? Like, our church's theology is kind of through pastors' writing, but also like through what we publish on our posts and social media. I think that's so true. And I think that the blogosphere is an avenue where we can really see and hear and read about not only the life of the church, but what is going on in people within the body. And like the hard things, like, dude, sharing your adoption story, sharing about motherhood, I don't know, sharing about relationships and singleness or depression, like those are tough topics that it's hard to digest or hard to share or talk about. But I think with writing it, you get to more time to think it through about what you want to say and then get to share it. So I think it's neat.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to do some writing.
I've been really thinking about my next one, because I know I still want to talk about TURF or talk about youth ministry, because that's what was supposed to be part two. I think I was stuck because there was a lot of things that happened in this year, especially in ministry, that was tough. And I'm still kind of in the middle of it. So I haven't, like, I think there are some things I want to write about for sure, but because I'm still in it with those issues or with those things, I don't have a resolution yet.
You know, I don't know, like, I think that's what I've been learning too, is that sometimes you don't have to have a resolution. I mean, okay, obviously for the church blog, yeah, like, it'd be nice to like point to God or something. Right? But like,
I should just talk about what I've been learning.
Well, I don't know. I just feel that, like, okay, it's one thing to write for the church blog, but then it's another thing to just write on your own personal blog, or just to share like what you've been going through. Like, sometimes I feel that like for our lives, sometimes we might not have any resolution. God doesn't necessarily promise us answers in this life.
Right.
I think there's a lot of trials that we might never see like come to an end, and that not to like get all morbid or anything, you know, but like there's real suffering out there in the world. And I think part of being a writer is trying to present like what's real, but then also like, yeah, if there is hope to the story, which with Christians and that people that have Jesus, there's always hope to the story. You just infuse it wherever you can. And I think there's room for dark periods as well, you know, like with a lot of the Psalms, you know, sometimes maybe there doesn't seem like there's a resolution, but if deep down inside, you know, that God is still there and you're hoping and you're praying for him to hear you, that can be inspiring to people too. So I don't know, Andora, for you, like,
I'm
ready to hear what you have to say, whether there's resolution or not. I just want to hear stories from you. And whether that's from the church blog or on your personal blog, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And I hope that you don't feel like you have to get stuck on a certain idea. I'd love to see you expand your writing to other topics too. Yeah, be creative.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
We were supposed to talk about Christmas music. Or no, not Christmas music. We were supposed to talk about Christian radio. That's what you wanted us to follow up on for this one. So yeah. Let me hear it. What do you listen to in the car? You have a long commute, right?
I do. I drive about minimum an hour each way on a good day.
Man,
it's usually like an hour and 15 or so.
Yikes.
You know, but I'm used to it. I recently have been listening to a lot of Albert Mohler, which is what I wanted to talk about. But
nice. Yes. Let's talk about Albert Mohler.
I also listen to like K-Love radio station or Air One or The Fish.
Air One still exists?
Air One still exists. It's 90.1.
90.1? That's what it was a long time ago, too.
90.1 or 90.3 is how you get Air One. And then K-Love is 100.3. And then the fish is what, 95.9?
Yeah, 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 I know the fish. Yeah.
There's also a KSGN, which is like all the Christian radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of all of them, I like K-Love the best.
How come?
I just like the radio talk show host the best. K-Love, I just like the morning show people. They're really fun to listen to. I just like their voices, and yeah. I just like, they're fun. They're really funny. They're my favorite. The music is not necessarily good. And I think that's what I shared with you recently. Like, even the Christmas stuff, I'm rolling my eyes because it sounds so, like, it's not really even Christian at all.
Oh.
It's secular.
Oh.
No, I mean, it is Christian in the way that they Christianize it.
It's inspiring.
It's inspired by Christian whatever. It just doesn't have any curse words or whatever. But, I mean,
positive music.
It's just positive music. You're right. That's the best way to put it. It's positive, encouraging. That's their tagline.
Positive, yeah, positive, encouraging. Yeah.
And that's it. It doesn't have to have Jesus in there.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I really don't like, but there are other things. I mean, there are some Hillsong songs that they play that I like.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Not that I would recommend us singing it on Sunday, but it's not bad. You know, I mean, I definitely will sing my heart out for Living Hope right now. Every time I go.
Is that a Hillsong? I thought that was Phil Wickham.
No, that's Phil Wickham. Yeah. No, that's Phil Wickham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Phil Wickham. For Hillsong, it's different. If they play Man of Sorrows, of course. Oceans, I'm good with. They've been playing a lot of this song called Not Today.
I don't think I've heard it.
Yeah, it's about Satan telling us to fear, but we tell Satan not today.
Wow, yeah. That sounds like a really hardcore song.
I'll link it to you. I don't know if you'll like it.
Okay, yeah, link it to me. Link it to me.
Who You Say I Am.
Okay.
That's been popular.
So you really know all the popular songs then?
I do, because I listen to it. But then sometimes I get tired of listening to it. So I'll listen to classical, or I'll go back to secular music. Because sometimes I just don't want to. It's just too, I don't know.
It's cheesy.
It's cheesy, you know, and it gets tiring.
Yeah.
But back to Albert Mohler. I really love Albert Mohler. I can't believe
I love Albert Mohler. When did you start listening to him? I've been listening to him for quite a while now, I think.
Years, right? Okay, yeah. So you're much more advanced. Actually, I have to give Gabe a shout out because he introduced me to Albert Mohler. This was back when we ran a half marathon, but I never, even when I liked it, it didn't occur to me that, oh, I should be listening to it on my way to commute one day. But then I think this is about 2 months ago, I just suddenly started listening to some episodes, and then I was super intrigued by what was going on in the world, and then just got into it that way. Now it's been like my little, once I get on the 91 and I hit the traffic, that's when I turn it on and I just forget about the traffic, and instead I'm engrossed in what he's saying. And I just love the way that he talks. Like, he's not condemning I mean, sometimes of course I think he's being sassy in his own way, or he evaluates it just strictly speaking from like an, you know, Christian observer, or from a biblical worldview. I mean, he doesn't really comment too much. He's not like, not to offend anybody, like Jack Hibbs, you know, who's sure. just
mm-hmm. like, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Condemning, you know, which I appreciate. I mean, he does call out when things are absolutely nonsense and ridiculous, which I also appreciate, but he's not. It makes sense. Like, he speaks in a way where he understands the other side.
Yes. Yeah. I think that he's very well read. I think he's very clear and articulate. And he's coming at it from a pretty robust Christian worldview. Like, he really tackles all the points. And you're right. He doesn't come at it like condescending or condemning. If he didn't say it was Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, you know, like, you would just think, oh, okay, this is just some guy giving his opinion. Like, he's not coming from this place of authority or anything like that, you know? Yeah. And I think it's really good. I really liked all the stuff about the California wildfires. Did you listen to the recent one about the missionary? Chow was his last name.
Yeah.
I think he's just spot on all of his analysis.
Really, really good. I love that he talked about the methodology and compared him to Jim Elliot. I mean, he just has great insight. And like you said, he's very well read, very intelligent. I wonder, does he even read off a script, or it's just all verbatim?
It's like, okay. Yeah, he doesn't. Okay. So there's this video. It's a behind the scenes video. I'll send that to you. But yeah, he doesn't use a script. Like, I guess his his people. I guess they just give him articles and he just sifts through them. And then he comes up with it on the spot. And like, I think Eugene told me one time, like, this is like his like ministry. Like, this is like what he loves to do. He's just talking.
It's just so crazy because he speaks as if he wrote it.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, I know. He's so good. And
he's
like,
so articulate.
Yeah. It's really good. It's super impressive. Yeah. Okay. And then like, Eugene also told me, or no, Eugene didn't tell me this. You can hear him. Like, he'll speak like outside of the school. Like, if he's traveling, he'll like do the podcast like on the road, which is crazy, right?
Yes.
Like, how much preparation do you need to do this? Like, it would take me like months to just come up with half of what he's saying.
Yes. Yeah. So I really appreciate it. I mean, yeah, the missionary one is such a good episode because he also talked about what the world was debating about. It doesn't even have anything to do with really Christianity at all, but it's just the difference between should the indigenous people have access to modern technology and modernism, or should it be left alone? Like, that is the bigger issue for the world, which is so mind-boggling.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they have no idea about the Christian commission. Right. You know?
But I also loved in that episode, and this is, I guess, another spoiler for people, but it's just Albert Mohler shared about how he was at a conference speaking and that he met the guy who killed Jim Elliot. And that...
Right, I know.
Oh my gosh. I almost teared up. Okay, I didn't really tear up, but now about it, I almost want to tear up because isn't that so amazing?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's what a story, right? Like,
if that is a real Korean drama. There's nothing Korean about it. It's a Christian drama. It's God's story coming
yes,
to life.
Yes. The ultimate
like
drama.
Paul, right? Paul went to kill, I don't know, this is probably a bad analogy, right? But kill the Jews, or not kill the Jews, kill the Christians. And
he was a persecutor of the church, and then he became the greatest missionary ever, you know? So
yeah,
no, absolutely. I listened to Albert Mohler first thing in the morning. Like, honestly, like once I get in the car, he's the first one. And so
how long is your commute? Is it?
My commute varies, normally 20 to 30 minutes. So somewhere in between there, like if there's accidents, then yeah, it will be slower. But like on the daily, yeah, it's 20 to 30. So it's not bad. Normally I can get in Albert Mohler, Ask Pastor John, and maybe a little bit of Ligonier, maybe. And then by the time I get to work, I need to listen to like MacArthur and then John Piper's daily sermon. So I have a very...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm on a strict podcast diet there.
I like that. Yeah, I should join.
Yeah.
I can do all of them.
you probably can. I mean, sometimes I need to take breaks because it's a lot to intake.
It is a lot to intake. You know, especially if it has anything, is whenever Albert Mohler covers like the sexual revolution... Oh, even today's episode about the CRISPR babies.
Oh, yeah.
That was nuts. Okay, from your perspective, and I know we're getting a little long, so sorry if you have to go to sleep.
No.
This is so interesting.
Yeah, it is
fun. As somebody in like the medical field, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, honestly, like this is so like far away from us, right? Like,
right. This is from China.
Yeah, this is from China, but it will, you're right. Like, and... It is going to affect the medical community at large, right? And so for me, like, when I was thinking this through, I'm just trying to think, like, okay, like, what does make us human? This technology is going to come out no matter what. Once the floodgates open, it's just going to be there. I'm just thinking, like, down the line, like, oh, shoot, like, how do we put them in a separate category? You know, like, people whose genes have been edited. Right. And then, like, how are we going to... be able to tell that, you know, because maybe by looks, you just won't be able to tell. So like, how does that affect healthcare? How does that affect like billing and like how we know like what will be safe to do on a person depending on drug interaction? This is way above me. Like, I have no idea. But like, yeah, I'm just thinking like this is going to happen and we're going to see it somewhere down the lines here on the ground level of hospital medicine. I really don't know where it's going to go, but I think it will get to that where it's kind of like, we'll just have to see like who is different. Obviously we're going to have to value them the same. Like that'd be totally messed up. Right. If it's like, oh no, well you're an edited like person. Like it's so crazy.
That's
right.
So crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really where my mind is running. Like I'm in no place to make any judgments or predictions on this stuff, but that's just what I'm thinking.
I don't even think my mind could grasp just the magnitude of what they did.
Yeah. No, they it's crazy.
I think even when Mueller was covering the episode of how it was in China that they were able to get two female rats to produce like children.
Yep. He talked about that. Yeah.
That one kind of freaked me out a little bit too, because I know the next thing is they're trying to do it for humans.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
It's going to come. I mean, maybe not in our lifetime, but like, it's going to happen. Like
it's just crazy.
You can't stop this stuff. You know, somebody's going to, once somebody does it, like it finds a way to come into the mainstream.
Yeah.
No, Albert Mueller, man, this guy has topics for days. It's kind of crazy how he can talk about this stuff.
He can talk about anything. Like even today's episode, when he kind of just mentioned about the high school students going to the courtroom.
Yeah.
And he said something like, that's just so interesting. He points out.
Honestly, sometimes those stories are the stories that I love the most. Just those random, like, weird stories that aren't maybe as heavy as, like, CRISPR technology or, like, killing missionaries. But, like, he still finds, like, something to say about it. And I love those stories because they're just so, like, unique and, like, small scale, but packed with Christian worldview.
Right.
You've been attending Coffee and Christianity. Do you feel that you're able to talk about these things there, or is it not as in-depth, I'm assuming, right? Because it's a discussion.
Right. Well, to be honest, I haven't attended for a couple of weeks. And I mean, there were some weeks where I don't think we had it, but I couldn't attend for a couple of things. I think they did talk about certain things. I did like when Art's sister came, I think.
Yeah, Annie.
And she worked for the Trump administration.
Right.
That was probably my favorite discussion so far. Hanley does talk a lot during the discussion, not a negative. I mean, we have a discussion. I think the first time I joined was talk about the church and what our church is going through. But I really liked, because that was before the elections and we were talking about politics. But I've been enjoying Coffee and Christianity. I was surprised to be part of the group, but I think it's been good. I don't think I've been heavily involved in any converse or discussions yet. And we're still praying for someone new to come, for non-believers to come. But I think it's great that our church is doing this. And I'm excited for when we start the new building, like in a year or two, if we have a boba or coffee shop.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Hanley, that's kind of like his passion project right now. So I'm sure it's encouraging just whenever you can go just to.
Yeah, no, I've been loving it. I just like the fact that we have an open space to talk about anything. Anything is up for discussion. You can talk about anything. You can ask him anything. I mean, he gets pretty personal, but we have talked about things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Either the church or we've asked questions. Like even the building project, we've asked questions about. It's kind of nice. It reminds me of Lighthouse, not to compare, but not that they have coffee and Christianity, but they definitely serve coffee on Sundays. And
they are a coffee church, yeah.
But just like, it's a place for us to be able to have a conversation. We're caught up in the busyness of just ministry life, right?
Yes.
So the newcomer, how can they get plugged in if we are just go day and we only talk to the people we need to talk to for ministry purposes? Like, honestly, I haven't been that intentional even like seeking newcomers out. So I think this is a great way for us to be able to put ourselves out there. And it's been fun for me. So I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, I'm going to keep tabs on it. And I'll be happy to discuss it.
I know you teach Sunday school, but you should join sometime. You're
not I might not be of benefit to the discussions. I might just derail the conversations or make it trivial. But if I can, I would definitely love to check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing, and that is I've missed playing with you and with the rest of our team on Sundays. It's been a while, but it has been fun to see you guys play with other teams, you know, and just kind of to take it in from the congregation. Thanks for serving, though. It's always good to hear you sing.
How long has it been? Has it been 2 or 3 months?
I think in December it will be 3 months. Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm just playing with you. It's different. But it's fun. No, I think it's been fun to play with Ray and with whoever. I only play with Ray. So it's just you and Ray. But no, it's been fun. But everybody, I think, is just so talented. So it's nice seeing the group come together, whoever he asks and whoever you ask. really.
Yeah. Everybody is game to serve on whatever team. And that's one beautiful thing about our music ministry. You know, it's not about us as individuals, but it's about us serving the church as a whole and just being one voice to God, you know. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you for continuing to serve. Whenever you're there, whenever I see you, I'm always like a little bit like, okay, nice. Like, so I'm gonna, there's going to be some powerful female vocals on stage.
Okay, how has that been for you as like to watch us up there? I don't know. Is it different? Like, do you start making comments to yourself or like notes to yourself that now that you are from the audience perspective, there's things that you want to change to your music leadership?
Maybe I haven't thought about that too much in depth. Obviously, you know, whenever I do come back, yeah, I'll think a little bit more critically about it. But right now, I think that I do appreciate it when the music is softer and when I can hear the congregation sing. Mm-hmm. Not saying that, like, you know, everybody who plays except for me is like super loud. There's just times when it's like, okay, like it's really loud. I don't know. Like sometimes not every song needs to be a power ballad with like drums and like going crazy.
Yeah.
I think there is beauty in variety, and maybe that variety is something that I can offer, whether that's sticking to our acoustic team or maybe tearing it down and going smaller. Yeah. I don't know. But I do think that there is something to be said about just having a little silence and maybe more peaceful atmosphere. I think there's places for joyful, exuberant worship, especially on Sunday mornings. Not every song needs to be that way. And that's just kind of what I've been thinking of recently.
Thanks for sharing. Speaking of worship, one last thing. I'm actually going to see the Gettys for the Irish Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So next time you can ask me about that. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's definitely follow up on that. Yeah.
Or how they lead worship, because I've never seen them live. Oh, man, so I'm excited for that.
It's going to be great. You're going to have the time of your life. It's like it's like a combo. Okay, well, me and Jess went to see them in Nashville, you know, and like when they said they were going to come back over here, we weren't able to go. But if it is anything like what they were in Nashville, you're going to love it. It's like a combo worship service / concert. They'll play.
Yeah.
And you know I love that song, right? Yeah. So I know I think that's too much of an obscure song for them. But they did play My Worth Is Not in What I Own, and I also love that song too. And so
that was a great song.
Yeah, I think you're gonna enjoy
it. I do have to thank you for playing their songs, because I don't think I've ever listened to Keith and Christie besides In Christ Alone, and that's kind of with Stuart Townsend anyway. But I never outside of FCBC have ever sang any of their songs.
Or at least this much, right?
Yeah, no, I'm thankful that FCBC has introduced me to such like great, solid Sovereign Grace and Gettys.
Yeah, thanks for singing them with us.
It's been fun.
But yeah, we'll definitely follow up on that concert. I hope you have a good time. And thanks for sharing a Philip song too, by the way. That was kind of you to do that.
Oh, yeah. I haven't listened to Angie's yet. I should. I've been wanting to.
It's your favorite song. You should listen to
it. Right now, it is my favorite song.
Yeah. listen to it after we hang up, and then we'll follow up on the next podcast, I guess.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Endora, for being my guest on the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please send me your feedback or questions for a follow-up. You can even send me any questions specifically for Endora to follow up on. And I'll be sure to get to them in the next few episodes. In the show notes, you'll find links to our podcast archive. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. My website is musicgoon.com. The email address for this podcast is soundwords@musicgoon.com. And you can always tweet me @musicgoon. Thanks. See you soon.